Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Here we are. And what do you have for me this week?
I have quite the story for you this week. We're going to be talking about a woman who was frozen solid. But before we get into that, I wanted to let you guys know, if you want access to 42 full-length bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. Our patrons vote on the stories they want to hear. They also get access to our episodes a whole day early. They're ad-free. And it's a lot of fun over there. So,
and you get a new one every month.
Yes, a whole new episode every single month that you get to vote for. So check it out. But with all that out of the way, why don't we jump into this week's story?
Let's do it.
Okay. Our story takes place in Langby, Minnesota. Langby is a very small city in northern Minnesota in Polk County. It's so small that at the time of our story, the population was only 87. And even today, based on at least the 2020 census, the population is 92.
It's growing at a fast clip.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Seriously. Langby, Minnesota, taking everyone by storm. But
could you imagine? Like,
no,
your entire
people?
Town is like, what, 3 classes of people?
Yeah. My high school graduating class was bigger than that, and I had a pretty small high school.
Yeah, I mean, mine was like 4 or 5 times the size of that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine what it is like to grow up like that.
Well, it's the kind of place where everyone definitely knows everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Their claim to fame is actually Gene Hilliard's survival after being frozen solid. That's like their one thing that they are known for, I suppose.
And I would also imagine farming.
Well, yes, farming as well. And the only other thing on the Langby's Wikipedia page is the Langby Post Office has been serving the community since 1898, and the city once had a railroad depot. So not much is going on there that they're like thinking that those are things to bring up in the Wikipedia page.
It's the depot. Come on.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So this is the heart of rural Minnesota, where the winters are frigid. I mean, we're up by Canada. Like this, it gets cold there. It's the kind of cold that makes your bones ache and hurts when you breathe in. And the night of December 20th, 1980, was no exception. It was negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wait, just no wind chill, just
baseline.
Static?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Baseline negative 22 degrees.
Was it windy?
Yes, it was.
So like what, negative 40, negative 50?
I don't know what it felt like, but it was starting at negative 22.
Jesus.
And then there was wind on top of it. Yeah.
I mean, this is Fahrenheit for the folks overseas, you know?
It is. But once you get into these deep negatives, it's like pretty similar.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I forgot what the turnover point is, but
I think
it's
negative
close.
40. Yeah.
Right. It's close to that.
It is close. So Gene Hilliard was 19 years old and she was dating a guy named Paul. And that night they would be hanging out with their friend, Wally Nelson. December 20th was a Saturday night. Jean drove to Fauston to meet with her friends at the American Legion, which was the hottest spot within driving distance, where the young people got together, drank beers, and danced. It was the place to be on a Saturday night. She was driving her father's Ford LTD that night, which is a car with rear-wheel drive and no anti-lock brakes, meaning it was way more prone to losing traction in the snow, especially when accelerating or braking, which is not good for Langby, Minnesota.
I'm like, any rear-wheel drive car is terrible in the snow.
Yes. In 1980, it was a pretty standard car, but it was just a terrible car for icy roads. But Jean had grown up there her entire life, and this was her father's car, so she probably had a decent amount of experience driving the car on icy roads, but even with experience, it was still dangerous to do. That night, as I said, the temperature was negative 22 degrees, and temperatures that cold can give a person frostbite within 10 to 30 minutes, especially with wind chill. The speed at which frostbite develops depends on factors like wind speed and individual susceptibility, but at the end of the day, if you're outside in that kind of wind chill for any extended period of time, you're going to be in bad shape. And Jean wasn't really dressed for the temperature because, you know, she's 19 years old and going out drinking with her boyfriend and her boyfriend's friend, so she wanted to look cute. She did have a winter coat and mittens on, which is more than I can say I had when we were going out in college at 19 years old.
Oh, yeah. I remember we got like a day off school because it was so cold. It was like a similar temperature.
It was negative 30 something.
And everyone was still going out to the bar.
Yeah, like, going to school or going out drinking when you're 19 years old in college, like, I'm wearing a crop top and jeans, mm-hmm, and like sneakers. Like,
right.
A hoe never gets cold.
Right. We optimize for the look.
What we would say. Yeah. But, you know, now a hoe gets cold. Believe me. Believe me.
Immediately. But, even in the summer.
Yes. But Jean was wearing cowboy boots, which are definitely not made for the snow. Famously, they're made for hot weather, right?
The cows.
Thankfully, she was wearing a jacket and mittens, but still, cowboy boots, not great. It was the kind of outfit that, like, you'd be okay walking from your car into the building, but much more than that, you'd be uncomfortable.
Right.
But their night was normal. And around midnight, Jean decided that it was time for her to go home, so she got into her car and started driving down the narrow, dark gravel roads winding through the farmland in her father's car. And the snow at this point was coming down hard, like damn near blizzard level hard.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
She was driving through basically whiteout conditions. It probably wasn't the first time she had ever driven in these conditions, so she was being careful and probably white-knuckling her way through this drive home. And all of a sudden, the rear wheels of her vehicle hit ice and the car started fishtailing. And Jean was fighting the steering wheel as the car slid sideways off the road and nosedived into a ditch. That's not right.
I'm like, actually, which one is correct?
Nosedived. The car skidded off the road on the edge of the White Earth Indian Reservation and stalled in the windy, frigid weather. When the car came to a stop, Jean thankfully didn't have any bad injuries from the crash. She didn't have any broken bones. There was no blood, nothing. She was fine, but she was stuck. She was in a really bad situation. She tried to drive out of this ditch, but her car was wedged tightly, and the back wheels spun uselessly in the snow. And so at that point, she knew she wasn't going anywhere. She could either stay in the car and hope that somebody drove by, which would be highly unlikely considering there were 87 people total in this town and it was past midnight, or she could try to walk out of there herself. But that was risky too because she was miles away from anything. It's not like there was much around her other than farmland. And it was 1980, so she didn't have a cell phone to just call for help. She was just stranded past midnight in the middle of nowhere farmland in a blizzard and negative 22 degree weather. So her night went from normal, hanging out with her boyfriend and her friends, to now having to make a life or death decision. If she stayed in the car, she might freeze after the gas ran out and the heat stopped, but if she walked, she would be exposed to the wind and the elements, which obviously could also kill her. So she didn't feel like she had great options. What she did know was that her friend Wally Johnson's farmhouse was around 2 miles down the road from where she was. So she was just out with Wally, and now she's like, I'm kind of in the area of Wally's house. Maybe I can make it there. She had driven these roads hundreds of times, and she had grown up in this area, so she felt like she knew the area well, and Wally was her boyfriend's friend, so she figured he would be home at this point, and she knew that if she could make it to Wally's house, she would be safe and warm and okay for the night. 2 miles isn't too bad of a walk if you're in normal conditions, but it was negative 22 degrees outside and everything was covered in snow, and it was still coming down really hard, and she was wearing cowboy boots. But Jean was no wuss. She grew up in Langby, Minnesota, so she has definitely lived through her fair share of winters up there, and she felt like she could handle it. So she turned the car off and set out down the dark road. She was trying to follow tire tracks and just praying that she was going in the right direction as she trekked through the whiteout conditions, but she was extremely cold and could barely see. And because of this cold, she was a very good candidate for hypothermia, which can cause confusion when blood flow gets directed from your brain to other vital organs to fight off hypothermia and keep you alive. So Jean said she would get to like a top of a hill, and then she would see another hill in the distance and think, Wally's house is just over this hill. And then she would get up to the second hill, and then there would be another hill. So it seems like she might have been getting a little bit confused as to exactly where she was, and maybe the hypothermia was playing into that, but she had a lot longer of a walk than she realized. Also, trekking through snow for 2 miles is a lot different than just walking on flat ground for 2 miles.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what, 45 minutes to an hour?
Like, minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Like, best case.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. If you're walking 1 mile, it's like around 20 minutes if you're just walking, right?
Yeah.
So 2 miles. So minimum walking normally on flat ground, 40 minutes. But she's trekking through snow and going up and down hills in the snow and in whiteout conditions. So definitely a lot longer.
Yeah, better get a jog on.
She could not do that. She could also maybe see like 20 feet in front of her at a time. So she was just basically walking blind through this snow and ice. The wind was howling, drowning out any other sounds around her, but Jean had to keep walking, fighting the wind and cold and her exhaustion. After about an hour of trekking through the snow, she finally saw some dim lights off in the distance, and she knew that she was finally making it to her friend Wally Nelson's farmhouse. If she could just get there, she would be safe and warm once again. She even saw that there was like smoke billowing out of the chimney, and the lights were on, obviously, so he was awake, he was home, and it was warm inside. If she could just get a few hundred yards, she'd be fine. But that was when everything went wrong. As she got closer, she could see Wally's house grow more clear, and she could see the warm yellow lights growing stronger and stronger. 15 feet from the door, Jean tripped. There may have been a branch or something hidden under the snow that tripped her, or it's very possible her feet were numb, and she was experiencing such severe hypothermia that she just fell. Because muscles can become stiff and rigid, and you become uncoordinated when you're dealing with hypothermia at that level. And she was wearing cowboy boots, which were definitely way more of a fashion statement than they were practical in this environment. So she went down hard, just 15 feet from the door. And typically, when a person falls 15 feet from their destination, they would get back up and just finish the last couple steps of their journey. But Jean didn't get back up. She had just spent over an hour in negative 22 degree weather, walking through a blizzard and wind. Her core body temperature had already dropped dangerously low. Her muscles were stiff and she was exhausted. She later said that she had tried to get up because she knew the warmth of her friend's home was so close she could almost touch it. She described getting onto her hands and knees and trying to crawl toward the door. She called for help, but by that point she was so weak and the wind was so much louder than any sound she could produce. By that time, her body was shutting down. Her hypothermia was so advanced that her body had reached its limit and her muscles just stopped working. She had collapsed face down in the snow, right outside the front door, and shortly after that, she lost consciousness. Jean had collapsed around 1 a.m., and her car slid off the road around midnight, but Wally wouldn't discover her until around 7 in the morning. So she had 6 hours in the snow, face down, in negative 22 degree weather.
Whoa.
I mean, how cold is a freezer?
Maybe 25 or 30 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know.
Okay, no, it's actually, a freezer should be cold enough to keep food frozen, typically around 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
No way.
That's what it says.
Well, frozen would be under 32, right?
Yeah, but like you got to keep it really frozen.
Mm.
So it's kept at zero. But 22 degrees below that is what Jean was in for 6 hours. So you remember that piece of chicken you have in the back of your freezer? Think of that.
It's but rock like, hard.
Yeah, think of that, but like even colder.
I mean, if you put a chicken in the freezer, what, within 2 or 3 hours, it's like frozen solid.
Right, and she was there for six.
Did she get snowed over?
Maybe a little. Maybe
well, this is the only thing that is going to help her, is if there's like a blanket of snow on top of her.
Yeah, I actually don't know. She definitely wasn't entirely covered because when Wally did finally come outside in the morning, he saw her immediately. So she wasn't like completely snowed over, but there was probably some sprinklings on her. But in those conditions, Jean should have been dead within 15 to 45 minutes.
That's quick. I mean, but she was already hypothermic.
Oh, yeah. She had spent an hour in negative 22. And, like, you're going to get into, like, frostbite range after, like, 10 to 30 minutes.
Oof.
Yeah. But she obviously did not die. Meanwhile, inside Wally's house, he was busy. He had brought a woman home that night from the bar. And so he most likely would have been awake at the time that Jean collapsed, only 15 feet from his door, because the lights were on inside, the chimney was smoking, and he had just gotten home from the bar. So he had been completely unaware of his friend's girlfriend dying outside his front door. The next morning, Wally got up around 7 a.m. to do his morning chores. He would have been getting up to tend to his cows, most likely. But instead of going about his morning as usual, he opened his door and found a body face down on the ground, unmoving and frozen solid. At first, it didn't register what he was actually looking at. He thought he saw some clothing that had been left in his yard, but as he got closer, the very horrifying reality hit him. This was a body. And not only was this a body, but he knew this was Jean Hilliard, since she had been wearing the very same clothes with him only 8 hours earlier at the bar. So he very frantically flipped her over to see if there were any signs of life. When he did get her on her back, he was met with a horrifying image. Jean was literally frozen solid. Her body was crystallizing. Her skin was hard as a rock. Her joints were rigid and unmoving. Her eyes were frozen open with a glazed, seemingly lifeless, permanent stare. Her eyeballs looked like marbles.
Oh my God.
The snow was falling into her open eyes when Wally finally flipped her over and exposed her face for the first time, and her hair was frozen to the ground. Wally was no stranger to frozen meat. He was a cattle rancher and a butcher, so he definitely knew what frozen meat looked like. I mean, we all do. But he knew when he found Jean that morning, she looked just like a piece of meat out of the deep freeze, is how he described it. He said he, quote, grabbed her by the collar and skidded her onto the porch. I thought she was dead, froze stiffer than a board, but I saw a few bubbles coming out of her nose. He said he skidded her. He couldn't pick her up because her body was locked in the position she had collapsed in, so he had to, like, skid her up onto the front porch. Isn't that a crazy visual?
Yeah.
The bubbles coming from her nose were the tiniest sign of life and was the only thing he could cling onto that she was still in there. He didn't know how it would be possible, but he had to try to get her help. He knew he needed to get her to a hospital, but that wasn't going to be an easy task. He tried picking her up and putting her into his truck, but her body was so rigid that she wouldn't fit. She had zero flexibility. She was basically like trying to fit a wooden board into a seat. Like, that's just not going to happen. So he had to get the woman who had stayed over that night to help him. And together, they managed to fit Jean diagonally into the back seat of a different vehicle.
I mean, what a freaking morning after, huh?
No, seriously. He said that that was actually a very awkward end to their night.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Like, how could it not be? You're basically discovering a dead body together. Not just a dead body, but a dead body of your friend who's frozen solid. And you have to, like, Tetris her into your car. Hey, weird question. Could you help me outside really quick? I just, yeah. Like...
Yeah, I didn't want to have to pull you in on this, but I need you.
I mean, also, just the visual of her
What's your name?
Yeah, right, exactly. Just the visual of her being put into the back seat, like, diagonally. Like, truly, as if you're putting a piece of, like, a big wooden board in the back seat.
With her eyes open.
Yes!
I mean, what a horrifying scene.
Yes, and her skin was, like, gray. Like, her skin was gray, her eyes were glazed over, but open, frozen solid, and her hair was obviously crazy because it was frozen to the ground. This is a horrifying image.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you even do? Do you, like, put blankets around her? Do you start defrosting her in, like, a bath?
No, I mean, his main priority was get her to the hospital.
Yeah.
Once he gets her there, then they can defrost her, basically.
Yeah.
They were 10 minutes from the Fauston Municipal Hospital, which wasn't too far, but would have felt like an eternity when you're speeding down these snowy back roads, transporting your friend who is frozen solid in the back seat.
Yeah, like also, not to mention, speeding down a back road after a snowstorm is incredibly treacherous.
Yes. He had no idea what to think. He was just clinging onto those tiny bubbles coming out of her nose. When they arrived at the hospital, things got even crazier. When Wally carried Jean inside, the medical staff thought he was bringing them a body from the morgue. Like, he brought them a frozen body. Dr. George Sather was the attending physician that morning, and he had seen plenty of hypothermia cases after living in northern Minnesota for many, many years. So he knew what severe hypothermia looked like, and he also knew what death looked like. And to him, Jean looked dead. It didn't even look like severe hypothermia. It just looked like she was gone. As I said, her skin was gray, her face was expressionless, her eyes were wide open but completely unresponsive to light. And when Dr. Sather touched her skin, he also said that she felt like a piece of frozen meat. But somehow she was still alive. Her body had basically entered a state of hibernation or suspended animation as she lay in the snow. Her heart rate had slowed to barely detectable levels. Her heart was beating 8 beats per minute. And an average adult will have a heartbeat of around 60 to 100 beats per minute. And she had 8. Her breathing was so slow, she was breathing about 2 to 3 breaths per minute instead of the normal 12 to 20.
I mean, it's so remarkable that she is functioning at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Or taking any breaths.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, they weren't expecting her to be alive at all. So the fact that anything was happening in there is crazy. Because everything had slowed down, her metabolism dropped to nearly zero, and her body temperature plummeted to something far below what doctors would have thought would be compatible with life, especially at that time. I mean, now, obviously, through stories like Jean's, we know a lot more about severe hypothermia and, like, basically cases of people being frozen solid. But at the time, this did not seem like a person should be able to survive through it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Normal human core body temperature is around 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, and Jean's temperature dropped so low it wouldn't even read on the hospital's thermometers.
How low did they go?
Thermometers in the hospital at the time read to around 80 degrees, and Jean's temperature was so low it didn't even show up on the scale. I think it was around 80, but I mean, their thermometers didn't pick it up.
When does hypothermia set in? I would be shocked if she was even 80 degrees.
Hypothermia occurs when the body's core temp drops below 95.
95. Okay, so we're at least 15 degrees below that. But you were saying that she felt like a frozen piece of meat.
Yeah, she did.
So she should be colder than that, no?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what her body temperature was because the hospital's thermometers didn't pick it up. They weren't like, they didn't go down that low.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking like 50 or 60.
I have no idea, but maybe. Like,
we'll never know.
She was an ice cube, so maybe. They couldn't get a blood pressure reading on her because they couldn't find a pulse, and they couldn't start an IV because her skin was so hard that when they would try to put needles into her skin to start an IV, the needle would break.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Your skin is so hard that you break a needle. Like, that is crazy. Like, truly frozen meat. Like, trying to put a needle in a frozen piece of chicken. Anyway. I know we all know that, but I'm still flabbergasted. Like, it's so insane. Anyway, Dr. Ryan Kelly said, quote, she was so severely frostbitten, none of her limbs would bend or move, and really things looked very grim. When a person gets frostbite, what we're basically talking about is freezing of the limbs. That actually means ice crystals forming in the cells, and in so doing, they destroy many of the cells of the body. After the hands and feet start the initial stages of frostbite and the core temperature of the body drops, the heart, the lungs, the internal organs of the abdomen, the brain, when those start to cool, it becomes more and more difficult for them to perform their functions until they finally stop. At that point, the patient would more than likely die. The hospital staff was doing everything they could, but hospital office worker Rosie Erickson worried that it wouldn't be enough. She felt like Jean needed a miracle, so she called the pastor of their church and told him Jean needed a prayer. Jean's family also started a prayer chain with friends and family. Even though every sign was pointing to Jean not being alive, they wouldn't consider her dead until she was warm and dead, which is something that we've talked about in a handful of episodes about people with hypothermia. But basically, you gotta be warm for them to pronounce you dead. And Jean was obviously not warm.
It's like, as a normal person, it's the last thing you would think of. But there's so many documented cases of this where people come back.
Right. One of the most prominent cases of this, we talked about in our very, very early on stages of doing this podcast, Anna Bagenholm.
Don't go listen to it.
Yeah, don't listen to it. But
The story's good. The telling is not. That was the one I did. It's one of my favorite stories, though. But
yeah, I mean, obviously, very early days of our podcast, so listen at your own risk. But the story is insane. This woman was skiing, and she got stuck in a frozen river, I believe?
Yeah,
right?
Like, she flipped upside down, so her head was facing, like, down, and then her skis, like, hooked into the top of this, like, ice ledge.
Yeah.
So her skis, like, hooked on the top, and she went under, and she found, like, an air pocket. They kept her alive for like 40 minutes, but
right.
Then she just like gave out, and she was there for another 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then they flew her to the hospital.
Right.
then they revived her.
Yeah, they brought her back up to temperature, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But even crazier, I mean, that's obviously insane, but something I have learned throughout researching for this story is that in some cases, I feel like probably similarly to Anna Bagenholm, there have been cases where like a child will fall through the ice and they're completely submerged underwater with obviously no airway, like there's no air happening, and they still are able to be revived later on when they're like warmed back up.
Yeah, because your body reaches this like hibernation state,
yeah,
right? And you're so cold that your organs don't need oxygen.
Yeah, it basically just puts your body on pause.
Yeah.
And it's like not obviously every single time, I'm assuming, but there have been many, many cases where people have survived things that should not have been survivable because they were so, so cold. And I think it has to do with also you cooling down really, really quickly, because obviously if you're getting cold slowly, then your organs won't like kind of get into a pause state.
Right.
So it also has something to do with you being cold really quick. Anyway, Dr. Sather later said he thought she was dead, but then they picked up an extremely faint whimper. I guess she made some kind of whimpering sound. And he said that was when we knew there was a person existing. When we heard this whimper come through, the faintest possible sound of life from what appeared to be a frozen corpse. So at this point, Jean, like, isn't fully there. Like, she's very much unconscious. And like, when she wakes up, she doesn't remember any of this. But it kind of feels like, what if her body just like subconsciously knew that she needed to show a sign of life and like mustered up some kind of whimper? I don't know. But crazy, because that was what prompted them to like keep fighting for her.
Yeah. I mean, we'll never know. It's just, especially if we're talking about it, it's like everything went just right.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Dr. Edgar Sather, who was George Sather's brother, was also treating Jean. So there's two Dr. Sathers. And he told reporters that there was no evidence of a pulse or blood pressure, and her body was too frozen to find a vein, but they eventually detected minimal vital signs. They found her heart was beating 8 to 12 times per minute, and her breathing was around 2 to 3 breaths per minute, which I've already said. But the medical team made the decision to treat her as if she were alive and try to slowly rewarm her, which was pretty huge because they didn't have a lot of cases like this to know what the right thing to do was or to know that she was even still in there. They're just kind of like seeing what happens, but they're getting like these tiny vital signs, so they're going to treat her like she's alive, even though they don't necessarily know she is.
Right.
So they had to slowly try to rewarm her. And these days, doctors use special devices that pump the patient's blood through a heater, warming their vital organs like from the inside out. So when you're reheating someone, you don't want to just like put a bunch of blankets on them and heat them from the outside in. You want to do it opposite. But this little municipal hospital didn't have sophisticated equipment for rewarming. They were literally just using heating pads and blankets. That was all they had. All they could do was wrap her in blankets and heating pads and just wait. But they also had to be careful about warming her too quickly, because warming someone too fast can cause heart problems, which can kill them. So it's a very delicate balance. For the first 2 to 3 hours, nothing happened at all. She just lay there motionless like a statue. She showed no improvement and was still gray, and her joints were still locked. They started to feel like maybe they were just warming a corpse. But then, after 3 hours, things started changing for the better. Dr. Sather described it, quote, "The reaction didn't appear until 2 or 3 hours after she started thawing out. The body was cold, completely solid, just like a piece of meat out of the deep freeze. Picture this, the nurses and doctors crowded around this impossibly frozen young woman, watching for any signs of life. And then gradually, her skin started to soften. Color began returning to her face. Her joints started to show flexibility." And the true sign of life to these doctors at the point was the color returning to her face. Even if they were rewarming a corpse, her skin would soften and her joints would become more flexible, but she was losing that deathly shade of gray to her skin, which gave her the appearance of being a real alive person. They said it was like watching a statue come to life. And by 10 a.m., Jean was starting to show signs of consciousness. They began noticing muscle spasms as her body slowly came back to life. And by noon, she was not only awake, but she was alert and even talking.
What?
Yeah. Jean said, quote, I woke up in the hospital about noon. Things were kind of hazy and people were asking me questions as to who I am and things like that. And I couldn't figure out why they were talking to me that way or why they were treating me that way. Of course I knew these people. Of course I knew who I was. I mean, what's the big deal?
She's definitely 19.
Yeah, right? One of the first things she said was that she was worried about her father learning about her wrecking his car.
Honey, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, like she had damn near died and come back to life, and the first thing she thought about was getting in trouble with her dad.
Damn, the old man must love the car.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can understand being 19 and being like, oh my God, my parents are going to be so mad at me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that she's like talking.
I know. The doctors too, they were not expecting this. I mean, only 2 hours earlier, they thought she was absolutely a corpse.
Yeah, and then it took her two or three hours to have any color return to her face. And then 2 hours later, she's just back to normal.
Yeah, then she wakes up and she's like, what's the big deal?
She's like, why am I here?
What's going on? Obviously, I know who you are. I know who I am.
I know who I am. Okay, I'd like a Bud Light.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. The doctors were absolutely baffled by this whole thing. She should have been dead. And here she was chatting casually with the nurses as if she had just woken up from a nap. Jean told them it was as if she fell asleep and then woke up in the hospital. She said, I didn't see the light or anything like that. It was disappointing. She didn't have any crazy near-death experience. It was just like falling asleep. I don't think she ever actually died. She just got right next to death. When she learned about what had happened to her, she kind of felt underwhelmed. She thought she would get some incredible tunnel of light experience that she had always heard about, but she said it was just as if she fell asleep and woke back up in the hospital. But I feel like when we talk about near-death experiences, like typically the people who have like really remarkable NDEs are people who actually like flatlined.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe she didn't get that because she didn't actually die. She just came really close to it.
Yeah. I mean, 8 beats per minute is pretty close.
Definitely. Super close.
I don't know. I guess it makes sense. She kind of went into hibernation.
Yeah.
For what, 8 hours?
6. Yeah.
Guess it's kind of like sleeping. I want to know, was she tired?
That's the rested she ever felt. The most rested.
Like, could you imagine?
Yeah. That would be so funny. I mean, that's got to be the deepest sleep you've ever had.
She's like, right? She's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I think I'm going to go for a run.
They're like,
I wonder how she felt.
It seems like pretty normally.
I can't believe that.
It was incredible that Jean was alive, but doctors weren't convinced that she was just fine. They needed to make sure she didn't have any lasting damage. When your core body temperature drops as low as Jean's did, it's not uncommon for people to suffer brain damage or heart problems. In severe cases of hypothermia, a person may experience a decline in blood flow to the brain, leading to unresponsiveness, a decline in blood pressure, and potentially failure of heart and lung function altogether. Or more likely, they would have to amputate something, even if she didn't have brain or heart or organ failure. She probably was going to lose her hands or her feet or something. When someone experiences severe frostbite, they have frozen tissue, and they usually lose toes, fingers, or even limbs. Fingers, toes, and ears, and nose are the most vulnerable to frostbite, and she was laying face down in the snow for 6 hours. Doctors absolutely believed Jean would need some kind of amputation after a freeze so severe. They thought she would lose her feet at the minimum, possibly even her hands or her legs, and so they warned her family to prepare for the worst. The doctors considered amputating both of her legs to avoid infection from frostbite. So before they even know if her legs were even viable, they're talking about amputating both of her legs because they're concerned about infection. Even Jean was expecting to lose at least a few toes. But as the hours passed, Jean's circulation returned to normal. Her hands and feet, which should have been destroyed after 6 hours of being frozen, started regaining feeling. She had some numbness in her toes, blisters, and partial thickness frostbite, but that was it. Jeannie's sister, Sandra, said, quote, "When Jeannie first came to and we knew that she was going to live, it was an extreme relief. But what was more miraculous to me was her legs recovering. Every time we lifted the sheet, we could see the white just moving down. The black was disappearing little by little. And to me, I still think that was just unbelievable."
Yeah. I mean, what else do you say? But it just seems like such an understatement.
Yeah. She had no permanent damage. None.
Really? Not even like nerve damage?
No. Not to my knowledge. Not to any of the articles I read about her story.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's, I know. This is like one of the most baffling cases to, I mean, still to doctors and to people who look into her case. And her story was actually featured on like Unsolved Mysteries. Like this is...
Yeah, no, it truly is.
Yeah. This is like a very big question mark of a case. It's like how... Right. Did this happen so perfectly?
Right. But was she, I don't know, was she like an athlete? Was she like in really, really good shape? Like, was she a runner?
You know, I don't know her backstory so much. She was just like an average 19-year-old girl from what I know. Like, maybe she did sports. She was obviously living in a farm town, so she probably did stuff around a farm, I'm assuming. But she just was like an average 19-year-old.
Well, not anymore, but...
Yeah, well, honestly, after everything, she kind of just was an average person again. Like, this didn't affect her in any way, and she didn't even really, like, think of it in any crazy way. Like, she was just like, yeah, it happened. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you eventually come to that, but, I mean, you always have this experience. It's like, nobody else really has done this in the way that you did.
True. But, I mean, I have this later on in my notes, but honestly, I'm pretty sure Wally is more affected by this case than Jean was. Because to Jean, she just fell asleep and then woke up. And then she was fine. She was back to normal. But to Wally, he had to experience the trauma of finding his friend frozen solid in his front yard and then fitting her frozen stiff body with her eyes open and gray skin into his car diagonally.
Yeah, and then driving her.
Yeah, with the girl he just met the night before. Like, that was traumatic for him. So I think it was more traumatic for him than it was for Jean, which is insane. Yeah,
absolutely. From her perspective, is you don't even really know what was going on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he saved her.
He definitely did, yeah. After 49 days in the hospital for observation, Jean walked out of the hospital completely healthy.
How many days?
49. So it was she
49 days?
Yeah, she was in the hospital for a while, I guess. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it took a while for her limbs to go completely back to normal, but ultimately she had no permanent damage and she kept all of her limbs and fingers and toes, and she walked out of the hospital.
Wow.
She was discharged with little more than some numb, blistered toes, which soon healed. She seemed totally unaffected by her night as an ice block. Dr. George Sather said, "I can't explain why she's alive. She was frozen stiff, literally. It's a miracle." Even now, Jean's story is unbelievable and baffling to the medical community. We do understand more about hypothermia than we did at the time, which gives a bit more information, but still, it's unbelievable.
I think this is above and beyond any of the stories we've told.
Yeah.
And like, I have to imagine above and beyond the parameters for... you know, quote unquote, you have to be warm and dead. Like, she was hypothermic, frozen for 6 hours, then driven to the hospital, then 2 or 3 more hours.
Yeah.
So like 8 hours-ish, maybe even 9. The fact that they said that she felt like a piece of meat from the deep freeze.
Yeah. And needles broke before they would go into her arm.
Right.
Yeah. She was frozen.
Multiple layers beyond anything I've heard of. And I would imagine they'd put in a textbook
definitely.
Hey, treat this.
Yes. No, her case has definitely been studied and like is used as a teaching tool for medical things and whatever. But one of the most baffling things to me, I think, is that she had no amputations. Because from what we know about people who experience severe hypothermia and stories similar to this, like we said, like your body kind of gets put on pause and you're able to survive for a really long time without like really breathing, with like very low heart rate. You know, all these things are so cool. But when you freeze like that, ice crystals form in your tissue because the fluid in your body is frozen, which expands, and that should damage the tissue, theoretically, which would then make the tissue, you know, have to be amputated or whatever, or just damage in some way. But that just did not happen here. Like, she just thawed and was okay. It's so crazy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Some have pointed out that it is important to determine what exactly frozen means in this case. Although low, Jean's core body temperature was allegedly still well above freezing, and there is a difference between feeling chilled to the bone and actually having solidified water in your veins. So her blood wasn't frozen, but she had frozen like tissue. So she wasn't completely frozen solid, but like much of her body was frozen.
Like the outside?
Yes, the outside was frozen, not the inside. The stiffness of Jean's body is a common sign of severe hypothermia, in which increased muscle rigidity can be so severe it resembles rigor mortis, the stiffness that happens to a dead body. Also, the fact that her body appeared gray and her eyes were wide open and glassy is explainable. The body will close off channels to blood vessels under the skin to keep organs functioning, to the point where a body will look ashen and remain remarkably cold to the touch. Even still, experts have struggled to identify how her body withstood being as frozen as she was, questioning whether she benefited from unique qualities in the makeup of her tissues or body chemistry. So some people believe that maybe Jean, like her makeup, her biological makeup, was just better for being frozen solid than like the average person, which is so strange, but there really isn't a ton of other things to point to explain why she survived the way that she did.
That would make sense. I don't know what gene you'd have to inherit.
Right, exactly. Stories of people surviving freezing temperatures are unusual enough to be newsworthy, but aren't rare either. Medical specialists in cold climates have said nobody is dead until they are warm and dead. In medical settings or on rare occasions elsewhere, a chilled body can put the brakes on the whole dying process long enough to deal with low pulse, at least for a while. The realization that extreme hypothermia isn't necessarily the end of a life has become the basis of therapy in itself. Under controlled conditions, lowering a person's body temperature can cool down the metabolism and reduce the body's insatiable hunger for oxygen. So surgeons will actually cool down patients during complex operations or like heart surgeries. Emergency rooms use hypothermia to treat heart attack and stroke victims to slow the body down and give it time to heal. And they used it in the case of Gina Gysi, who was the first person to survive rabies without the vaccine, which is one of the stories we told over on Patreon, which is super cool. They induced hypothermia for her to basically slow down her body's functions to let her heal from rabies. Without the rabies vaccine, which had never been done up until that point, they like created an entire medical process and like treatment for her specifically.
Right, on the fly.
Yes, on the fly. Like I said earlier, where Jean's case really stands out is the extreme nature of her state of hypothermia. She went from being a human popsicle to being awake and alert after only a few hours with no lasting damage, which biologically didn't make a ton of sense. Unlike many materials, water takes up a greater volume as a solid than it does a liquid. This expansion is bad news for body tissue caught in the cold, as their liquid contents risk swelling to the point of rupturing their containers. Even a few ice crystals blooming in the wrong place can pierce cell membranes with their needle-like shards, reducing extremities to blackened patches of dead skin and muscle, or what we commonly know as frostbite. And as her sister said, her skin went from black to back to white. So, like, she had some form of frostbite, but the color just kind of returned to her skin.
It's so hard to believe. It's like almost had to be a different ice formation other than a needle.
Yeah, I have no idea how to explain it.
Maybe the specific temperature had something to do with it. I don't know.
Who knows? Literally nobody knows. Various animals have evolved some really cool adaptions to deal with the dangers of sharp expanding ice crystals in sub-freezing conditions. Deep sea fish, known as Antarctic blackfin ice fish, produce glycoproteins as a kind of natural antifreeze. The wood frog turns the contents of its cells into a syrup by flooding its body with glucose, thus resisting freezing and dehydration. Outside of their cells, water is free to turn into a solid, encasing tissue in ice and making them look, for all purposes, as solid as frog-shaped ice cubes. So some animals are able to be frozen and, you know, be fine. So maybe Jean is just part frog. I really
or
don't.
Or fish.
No, obviously not. No. But no, let's not joke. Without anything more to go on than external observations, it is hard to say for sure how Jean's body withstood being frozen. Was there something unique about her body chemistry or even the makeup of her tissue? Maybe. It's theorized that maybe Jean had a unique biological makeup that made her better at dealing with being frozen than the average person. There's a theory that maybe Jean froze so quickly and completely that it paused all biological processes before the ice crystals could do permanent damage. Some have speculated maybe Jean's alcohol consumption that night played a role in keeping her alive. I feel like we've all heard the thing like, oh, you put your liquor jacket on and like when you're drunk, it'll keep you warmer, which is actually false. It'll make you cold quicker, but it makes you feel warmer. So, like, there's a really famous story about one of the bakers on the Titanic who was, like, super drunk when the Titanic went down. And he survived in the icy, icy water for, like, a long time. And people were like, oh, well, there's no real explanation for why he survived other than him being drunk. So that's, like, a big story as to, like, people saying, oh, high alcohol consumption would keep you alive in cold temperatures. But one, Jean wasn't drinking heavily that night. And two, that's just simply false. Like, it makes you colder faster.
Well, I wonder if maybe it does help you. Like, if you're already colder than average, like, the change that you experience is less.
Meaning, like, when you get cold really quick?
Yeah, it's like your body is closer to pausing all of its functions because you're, I don't know, a couple degrees colder because you've been boozing.
That's actually what I thought. I thought maybe because we were talking about how like her getting frozen so quickly is probably what helped her in a weird way. So I thought maybe even that little bit of alcohol consumption potentially helped in that it made her freeze quicker.
Yeah. Also, like maybe if your blood and cells have alcohol in it, maybe the ice crystals that would form like are chemically different enough to be a different shape. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with that because, like I said earlier, it wasn't her blood that froze. like the ice crystals that form would have been in like her cells and like in her tissue. So that the alcohol wouldn't have changed any of that.
Well, does alcohol go into your tissue?
I don't think so. I mean, what alcohol does is it causes your blood vessels to widen, bringing more blood closer to the skin surface, which can lead to the sensation of warmth, but it also means more heat is lost from the body to the surrounding environment. So it causes the body to lose heat more rapidly and impairs the body's natural defense against the cold. This combination of factors makes individuals more susceptible to hypothermia, a dangerous condition where the body temperature drops too low. Alcohol can impair shivering. Shivering is a natural reflex that helps the body generate heat, and alcohol can interfere with this reflex, which also reduces the body's ability to produce heat and compensate for cold exposure. Drinking also dehydrates you, which can further exacerbate the effects of cold exposure. So maybe something in there made her get cold quicker and helped her in a weird way, is my thought on the whole alcohol theory.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know for sure, but...
No, we won't.
It makes a little bit of sense if you don't think about it too much.
Yeah, just don't think about anything we say too much, and then it'll make sense. Just
take it on its face. Like, hey, that feels right.
Right.
We'll move on. Don't use your phone to look anything up.
A University of Minnesota professor of emergency medicine, David Plummer, said it makes sense that her being so cold would have actually kept her alive longer. He's an expert at reviving people with extreme hypothermia, and he's handled dozens of similar cases. As a person cools down, he explained, their blood flow slows way down and their body requires less oxygen. It's a form of hibernation. If their blood flow increases at the same rate as their body warms up, they can often recover. He said, quote, "We have patients you can knock on like wood. They feel rock solid frozen. That in no way dissuades us from the resuscitation attempt. And we do have a track record of success with that." So Jean might have been like the first to be frozen solid like that, but she has not been the last.
Yeah, very cool. I wonder what their success rate is.
I don't know. I mean, all the cases I've heard of someone being this frozen and then brought back to life, you're able to kind of do it. Like, I guess it's a toss up on like if there's lasting damage, but being like extremely hypothermic that quickly in some ways is survivable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so weird that that's more survivable than, I don't know, slowly going to a higher temperature, you know, like 95 is hypothermia.
Right.
So it's like you get to 90 slowly and you'll have more issues. It just is so counterintuitive.
Yeah, I do not know. I am not a doctor, but it's cool.
Yeah.
After Jean's miraculous recovery, she toured local churches. Talk shows flew her to New York City to tell her story. She was the miracle girl from Langview, Minnesota. She was on the Today Show, and she said she kept waiting for something dramatic to happen. Almost everyone she knew told her she was saved by a miracle. But Jean never felt like she really changed a whole lot after this experience. Her life just kind of went back to normal. And once the attention died down, Jean said the experience didn't really change the trajectory of her life in any way. She got married and had 3 kids, then later divorced, and now lives in Cambridge, Minnesota. She has no lingering health issues from the ordeal, and these days she doesn't spend much time thinking about that night in 1980 at all. She just bundles up and doesn't drive on icy back roads late at night anymore. Wally, on the other hand, will never forget that morning. He can still vividly recall all of the details. But although Jean's story didn't really affect Jean that much, it did inspire a ton of medical research. Her case is cited in medical papers about hypothermia treatment and survival. Medical schools use her case to teach the survival limits and the importance of never giving up on a patient who appears beyond help. And her story is a great reminder that extraordinary things can happen to seemingly average people.
Yeah. She said like, oh, like I never felt like a miracle happened, right?
Yeah.
I was like, well, isn't returning to normal the miracle?
I guess.
Like, that is the miracle. It did not change the trajectory of your life at all.
Yeah.
And you could do everything you could do before. And I don't know, maybe the elephant in the room is you didn't die.
Right. I think
like all of these are the miracle, even if it doesn't, it feels mundane, but the return to mundanity is the miracle.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Is that a word?
Mundanity. I did.
To a mundane life.
I did clock it in my head.
Oh my God.
As you were saying
it. We're going to look it up.
No, I totally agree. But I do think when she was saying like she was waiting for something to happen, it was because like everyone in her life was saying like, oh my God, this incredible miracle has happened. And now like your life is going to be so extraordinary because whatever. And so she was just waiting for like the next big thing to happen and it never came.
Right. By the way, it's a word.
It's a word. Mundanity. Great.
Yeah.
It felt right. And it gave it a little flair. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I try.
but yeah, no, her life went back to normal and yeah. She's just a normal average person living her life and good for her.
Yeah, good for her. I do understand though, kind of waiting for this moment, you know, or feeling
totally
or something.
Ooh, yeah, you know? Because also like it was so extraordinary and obviously still is, but when it first happened, it was such an insane story. And she was like flown to New York and went on talk shows and she was the miracle girl from Langby, Minnesota. So like there was a lot of buzz around her story. But then, you know, as stories go, it died down eventually. And so that was kind of it. But that's her story. It doesn't make it any less remarkable.
Yeah.
It just like is great that her life returned back to normal. Honestly, I'm happy for her. Like that's great.
Yeah.
So that's the story of Jean Hilliard and how she froze solid and then survived.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say that hasn't been said. It's like, I guess this shit happens. She just moved on, you know?
That's
like,
the moral, shit happens.
It really does. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not. Shit does happen.
Shit happened. I mean, you know, Wally's forever changed. I don't know how the girl he brought over. Yeah, I wonder if they ended up working out. That would have been so funny.
That is a very good story to tell at parties if right. That is your first meet story, especially because obviously Jean is okay and she lived and she's totally fine, so it's right. Like totally fine for you to go around and tell that. It's that
absolutely
like, as your party story.
Actually if I were them I would I mean everyone probably knows them in their town, but I would go around being like, hey, you know Jean, I'm the one that saved her.
Yeah, I saved her.
No
life.
Big deal. Is this waffle free? I mean, you got to milk it a little bit. But
sure.
Yeah. I mean, do you bring that up like in your wedding speech?
You're
like,
in your wedding speech?
You're like, tell the story about how you met.
I don't know.
Do you invite Jean?
We are very much romanticizing a one night stand, I think.
I know, right?
No, but it is honestly funny to me that he brought home a girl that night and that's what happened the morning after.
I can't believe he got up at, I can't believe that he got up at 7 a.m.
to do chores. Yeah. Even if it's not their first date story and like the world of their romance, it is a good story for, you know, you're just living your life and you're like, you want to hear about a one night stand I had? Like yeah, that's a good party story.
Yeah.
I would whip that out for any person I just met. But
well,
anyway,
we wish her nothing but the best.
Of course.
I mean, stay warm.
Stay warm.
Is that the moral of the story?
Yes, I think so.
I wonder if she still has the boots.
The boots. Probably not. Cowboy boots from 1980? Probably not.
They're the boots that lived.
They're the boots.
Right.
Diva boots.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Why don't we move on to our good thing so we can go back to our days as normal? What is your good thing?
You go first.
Okay. My good thing is that I got a digital camera. Like the point and shoot kind from our childhood. And it felt kind of silly getting one because it's like, you know, I feel like everyone's like always chasing like better quality pictures and blah, blah, blah. And like the iPhones are always trying to be like, we have the best quality pictures, whatever. But there's something about a digital camera that is just so nostalgic in the best way. And it's also like, I don't know, I'm trying to be off my phone a little bit more. And there's something about a digital camera that you can just like have it with your friends and you can just like pick it up and take a quick picture instead of like having your phone and like distractions and things. So anyway, we went out with our friends last night and I took a couple pictures and they came out really cute and I'm very excited to use it. And that's all. That's my good thing. What's yours?
Yeah. I mean, that thing is so funny because it takes like 10 seconds to load.
Yes, it is. It's not like the quickest thing ever, right. But I do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's good. But you're reminded the technology that you're using. It's just funny. My good thing, I know, I feel like I haven't talked about the garden that much.
That's
right.
Rich. That's rich.
This summer.
Go ahead.
On the podcast, right?
Go ahead.
I got the first pepper of the season.
First pepper of the season's huge.
First pep of the season. I
Not first pep of the seas.
I'm growing shishito, and you got a bite of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was as fresh as can be. I mean, it's just cool because I have a ton of plants, but none of them make vegetables until like 3 weeks in August. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Here we are in August.
But you have to start in May.
Right.
Which sucks, but here we are. All that's to say is that the hard work is paying off.
And now we get peps.
And we get peps on demand.
They're looking good.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying seeing all the vegetables on the little plants. I'm like, whoa, you actually grew that.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah. So there's just a place in my brain that just enjoys this.
Oh, yeah.
And the tomatoes, too, are, there's so many.
Yeah.
I probably have like 100.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And I'm just waiting for those little bitches to turn red.
First Tom of the Seas? Huge.
Big.
Believe me, that's
first
big.
Sauce? First pasta? I mean, it's going to be nuts.
Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to get access to all those bonus episodes and vote on stories you want to hear, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share with us on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast and a Twitter that is Not Today Podcast, but the T on the end of podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.